Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah chapter 8. In verse 10, then he said to them, and the he that it's talking about is the prophet Ezra. Ezra was an interesting guy. He went into Babylonian captivity when he was 16 years old. And when he was an old man, he was released back out of captivity when Israel was released from Babylon, which at the time was no longer Babylon, it was actually Persia. Ezra became a high priest, and Nehemiah became the governor. And these two men worked together, and they faced some dangerous situations together, extremely dangerous conditions. Because there were a lot of people who remembered or at least knew about how powerful Israel was. And a lot of people were not happy about the return of Israel. And when they started building the walls back, and the walls were literal walls that would defend them, there were a lot of angry people who came against them, sometimes with their armies. They did not want another time when Israel was powerful again. So a lot of time was spent in Israel being afraid. A lot of time was spent in Israel where people just weren't enjoying things much. And this was because of their circumstances. And Ezra says to the people, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So he says to them, don't be afraid, don't worry, don't be sad. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God wants you to enjoy your life with Him. This is very important to God. God wants you to enjoy your life with Him. Why? Because you cannot enjoy your life without Him. When Israel focused on their circumstances and focused on their situation with their neighbors and all these lands and countries that were hostile toward them, it took their joy away. When they focused on the difficulty of the task of rebuilding, it took their joy away. But God doesn't want us focusing on those things. We may have to deal with things just to get through in life, to be responsible or whatever. But God never wants that to become our focus. God wants us to enjoy our life with Him. Every day for the believer is holy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. So every day for the believer is holy. Enjoy your life with God. Today is a holy day. And the way that you glorify God in this day is that you enjoy your life with Him. But without Him in this day, you cannot enjoy your day. You cannot enjoy your life. Because our joy comes from God, and that is our strength. In Psalm 16:11, the Word of God says that in the presence of God is fullness of joy. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. People say, I want to be happy in life, and that's fine. How are you going to do it? And then a lot of people will go about trying to get all this money or all these things, and they figure if you have more things, that'll make you happy. One of the things that amazes me about little kids in particular, little kids and puppies, they have one thing in common. At Christmas, they're always going to enjoy the box and the wrapper more than they are whatever's inside. It's amazing how that works. But it's true. Well, you know, we're kind of like that all our life. The details going well for us, that's not where our joy comes from. getting a lot of things that we want necessarily is not going to make us happy. I find it amazing how many very rich people are very unhappy. It's shocking, really. And if you talk to them, they'll tell you they're very miserable. But they have everything they could possibly want, but they're still very unhappy. They spend their entire life accumulating wealth and possessions and houses and cars and clothes and stuff and friends and everything imaginable, but they're still not happy. Because those things can't make you happy. I also find it amazing how many people that I've met who are really quite poor who are very happy. It's not that they're happy because they're poor. It's just they don't have a lot, but they're still happy anyway. The things don't make you happy. The circumstances don't make you happy. The people don't make you happy. They don't make you miserable either. What makes you happy is that you're in the presence of God. We can live every moment of every day in the presence of God because He is always present. We don't always think about it. But that's the difference. He's present whether you think about it or not. But when you think about it and you realize it, that becomes a source of tremendous joy. And then it continues there and it says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Right hand talks about strength and authority. So when we are under the authority of God, when we operate in the strength of God, which comes from being under the authority of God and having the presence of God, that becomes our joy. Then we are in a place where we have pleasures forevermore. What's a pleasure to people? People are always looking for pleasure. Sometimes it's the company of other people. Sometimes they think they're going to get pleasure from sin, drugs, or bad relationships, or whatever. But those things don't bring pleasure. What brings pleasure is when Christ is the Lord of my life, when He's in control of my life. Why? Because then I have confidence and I have assurance. Because then I know that no matter what happens, number one, He brought it or He allowed it, and it's always going to end up to my benefit. Then I have confidence that no matter what happens, I didn't mess things up. Later on in life, you're going to find out that that thought of I messed things up can become a real burden. That can be a real joy killer. When you live under the authority of God, you have tremendous pleasure from that authority. It's God's desire for you to enjoy your life, and one of the ways that you enjoy it is by being under His authority. Is by submitting to Him, is listening to Him, doing what He says. That gives us tremendous pleasure. God doesn't ask us to do a lot of things and then say, well, you're going to do them, but you're not going to enjoy them. We don't do them because we enjoy them, but we end up enjoying them because we do them. That's just the way it's designed. If you want to find joy in your life, you want to be happy in your life, be in the presence of God. Now, how am I in the presence of God? It's not hard. If you want to get in the presence of God, number one, realize that He's always there. That you're already in His presence. Number two, you get to know Him through His Word. Number three, you receive His love and His grace. And you just let Him love you in every situation. And the way you do that is in every situation, number one, you know that He loves you and you look for His love. You look for things like mercy. You look for things like compassion. You look for Him to take care of you when you have a need. And that gives you tremendous pleasure. That is a source of joy. Sometimes we get in a situation where things may seem too much for us. And that's not that uncommon. It happens from time to time. When it happens, it doesn't last forever. it stops again, but it'll happen for a little while, and then it'll get better. But those times can become pretty overwhelming for some people. The reason why they're overwhelming is because of the way that the person thinks about those times. They look at a circumstance that's overwhelming them, and they think to themselves only negative thoughts about that circumstance. They say, this is too much. This doesn't feel good. It hurts. This is something I don't like. I want it to be different. And it becomes overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be overwhelming. Why? Because you're in the presence of God. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul faced a situation like that. You see, it even happens to apostles. He said while he was in one of these types of situations to God, get me out of this situation. But in verse 9, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul, I didn't allow you to go into that situation without sufficient help. There's grace, and it is sufficient. Grace is three separate things put together. All three of them together make up grace. It's the kindness of God, the fact that God favors you no matter what, and it's also His government. That means you live under His authority, and you listen to what He says. And God says there, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, Paul, you might not have what it takes, but I certainly do, and I will show you that I'll be strong for you even when you can't be strong for yourself. Can you imagine that? It's like this. Say that you're on a playground in school, and the school bully starts to give you a very hard time. And maybe the school bully is a lot bigger than you are and a lot stronger. And the school bully has his 7 or 8 friends with him because every bully has to have his friends with him. Otherwise, he's too chicken to do anything. But the school bully is there with his 7 or 8 friends and it looks very bad for you. Now imagine that when the school bully came, the United States Marines show up right behind you. All 500,000 of them, or however many there are. And they show up right behind you. And they say to the bully, excuse me, what did you say? Can you say that again? Don't feel like it? That's kind of what it's like with God. When the situation gets to be too much for you, don't worry about it. God has your back. God's going to take care of it for you. There's nothing that comes against you that can actually succeed. Why? Because God has your back. There's no situation that can actually do real harm to you. Why? Because God is there taking care of you. God simply will not allow it. People may say, well, but I'm sick. That's okay. It's in the perfect will of God. God is giving you some amazing riches in being sick. People may say, I don't have much. That's okay. I have a lot, God says, and I'm willing to give all of it to you. You never have to worry about it because God's strength is made perfect in whatever it is that's causing us to be weak. Then he continues, therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul is saying, I may be weak, but I'm excited about it because I get to see God come through for me. What a fantastic way to think. Instead of saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? This is too much for me. This feels terrible. I don't like it. Can I get out of here? You say, this is amazing. God's going to come through for me. I'm going to see God give me what I need. I'm going to see God take care of my problems. I'm going to see God make me rich for eternity. I'm going to see all these magnificent things from God, and I get to see it. Totally different way of thinking. Overwhelming ends right there. And it's replaced with very exciting. Bad situation, get excited. God is about to do something. Feel like it's too much for you? Get excited. God's going to do something. Feel like you're totally weak and you have no ability? Get excited. God's going to do something. That's reality. That is reality. Just like the kid on the playground. Imagine if you're the kid on the playground getting bullied, but you know that you have all of the American Marines right behind you. Then that kid comes and starts bullying you, just like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You're really going to regret doing that. And you may even say to them, you might want to think again about doing that because it's not going to go well for you. Imagine having that kind of confidence. Well, God says you can have that kind of confidence, and that confidence will give you great joy. Sometimes people try to find their joy in things they ought not do. And you see this a lot. And they'll go into sin. They know they shouldn't. Sometimes kids will try to get into things like cigarettes or alcohol, for example, because they think they're going to be cool and accepted with the cool kids and stuff. There's a real problem with that. In Romans 6:23, the Word of God says, the wages of sin is death. Now, in Hebrews 11:25, there is some measure, a little bit of pleasure in sin for a short while. But its results are pain and suffering and death. It's kind of like this. Say the kid takes up smoking cigarettes and the kid feels pretty good because now he's accepted by the cool kids and he feels cool himself. And so he keeps going on with his cigarettes. But then later on in life, he develops cancer because he was smoking cigarettes. By the way, as the Surgeon General once put it, who served under President Reagan, cigarettes are the only thing that is legal that if you use it correctly, it will kill you. And so you get this really cool kids, they think they're something because they're inhaling smoke from what I like to call cancer sticks. And these cancer sticks somehow make you cool. But then you can't breathe later in life because you got emphysema or you have cancer or you start getting heart attacks because of it and you have to be in the hospital and you might end up in a nursing home. That's not really all that appealing. That's not really that fantastic. That really wasn't worth the cool. Sin is like that. People get into bad relationships and they do things that they know they should not do because they think somehow it's going to give them pleasure or benefit or whatever. And then it ends up terrible. And it hurts. And they suffer because of it. Had they never gotten into it, had they been a little bit smart about it, they would have never had to experience that suffering. They could have simply drawn near to God, waited on Him, trusted God, saying God's grace is sufficient for me, and the proper relationships will come in God's time as He wants me to have them. After all, He's the one who designed me. He knows what's going to work really well for me. Sometimes people start to identify with the world. They want to look like the world. They want to act like the world. They want to talk like the world because there's something about, oh, isn't that cool? The cool kid has this type of a thing or does this kind of a thing, and they try to imitate that. But 1 John 2:15 says, don't love the world and don't love the things that are in the world. Because if anybody loves the world that way, then the love of God isn't in them. It's much better to have the love of God. In other words, it's much better to have the joy that God gives than striving hopelessly to find joy where you cannot find joy. You ever go to the fridge and it's empty? And you just have this craving for something and it's not there? And you're kind of disappointed? I think that happens to everybody from time to time. And so you just kind of close the fridge and shrug and say, oh well, you didn't find what you were looking for in the place where it wasn't. Well, it's like that with the world. You try to find joy in ungodly things that the world does. And by the world, I mean the world system. I don't mean the planet. the way that people who are without God do things. And sometimes Christians try to be like those people. Well, those people are empty. Often those people are hurting. Often those people are very sad. Often those people are looking for things in great frustration, never being able to find them. Why would I want to be like that? Don't let Satan lie to you, telling you that you can find something good in that. You can't. What you find in it is a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and death. So you say, ooh, pain, suffering, and death. Let me have some of that. And you look at the person and you say, you're nuts. Well, sometimes we're like that. Especially young people, but it can happen to older people too. Ooh, pain, suffering, and death. That'll be fun. It's not fun. It's like those people who get into drugs because they think they're going to feel something special for a little while. They don't feel anything but sick. And then afterwards, they start to depend on them because their body chemistry changes and they can't stop and it becomes a living hell for them. Better off never even getting there. Better off realizing what it is ahead of time so you can avoid it. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where your satisfaction is. That's where your pleasure is. That's where your happiness is. That's where all of your life's dreams and hopes come from, is in the presence of God. That's where they get fulfilled. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's a wonderful promise to live by. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. What does it mean to draw near to God? How do I do that? I draw near to the Word of God because that gives me His thoughts. I draw near to the love of God. And I do that by meditating on the love of God, expecting good things from God, and looking for mercy from God when I need mercy. And then it also comes by drawing near to the people of God, because those people express Christ to me. The love of God is often shown to me by the people of God. So I draw near to these things. And when I do that, I find that I'm in His presence. He draws near to me. You don't do it by a law, in Hebrews 7:19. You do it by knowing that God loves you. You do it by mercy. You do it by the grace of God. God wants you to enjoy your life with Him. And because God designed you, God designed a way for you to enjoy it. You enjoy your life by getting close to God. If you don't get close to God, then you'll have a lot of joy-killing problems in your life that you didn't need to have. But God wants you to enjoy your life. So get close to God. All your life, spend all your time, this should be always your first priority. Get close to God. And you'll find the joy that everybody's looking for. You guys understand? That's it for today.